Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this fine day?
I'm good. I think I'm finally starting to understand why so many people are getting so much bad advice from their nutritionists.
Ah, interesting.
And I think I may have even given people some not-so-good advice before I had the full understanding of what the heck this is all about.
Wow, cool. Well, I just went to Las Vegas for 4 days.
Ah.
And one of the things that I did when I was there, I was actually there teaching podcasting and mobile marketing, the sort of stuff that I do. And when I'm not helping you restore vitality to the planet.
What do you do, destroy vitality to yourself and others?
Well, that's exactly what happened in Las Vegas. It's very interesting because, of course, it's a very active place and everything else, and it's just hyper. So, of course, nobody really got any sleep. We were getting like 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and those hours of sleep, because there's constant cars and stuff, it's outside the hotel rooms and everything else, it's not good quality sleep. Plus, because I was, a few thousand miles away from home, and I didn't really bring my vitamins or my Exela superfoods, and I was eating, restaurant food.
And no rebounder.
And no rebounder. Yeah, like all these things. And I was just running on adrenaline, and I would have a margarita. I don't drink a lot, but, we would just have one. But, that was one every night. So one of the things that I noticed was around my nose started getting red, like the skin, right? And that's something that I'd had before, but because I'd been doing the hot yoga and the rebounder and the superfoods and everything else, I'd noticed it had gone away. So my point being is it's very interesting if we watch our body closely to see what happens when we do stuff. Right?
Yes.
And I'm doing these shows with you, I'm becoming more and more aware, which is one of the reasons why I think it's really important that, we've done over 200 episodes, and you can go back and you can find all sorts of episodes on all sorts of topics that are absolutely fascinating. And it's a great way to learn and become more aware. And so here I was with, kind of this rosacea stuff. I know some of my friends knew what it was, and they just said, you're this, you're that, or what, your liver is what, and just didn't, it was not good, right? I mean, it wasn't like awful, but it was a way for me to kind of tell that I wasn't really looking after my body properly. In fact, the vitality was kind of coming out of it. So I think that's really important as we move forward, and particularly with some of the things we're going to be talking about over the coming weeks and months, is to, just take a look in the mirror and say, I'm an adult and I have adult acne, or I'm an adult and, my nose is always stuffed, or I'm young but I've got really greasy and acne all over the place, or I'm whatever it is, because then as you work through some of these things that we talk about, you'll see some differences. And to me, this is the most amazing thing. It's like, wow, for like 6 months, no, red, cheeky stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, in 4 days, it's back. Right.
Right.
Wow.
Yes. And, this is the unfortunate thing. The cleaner you are, the faster the effects of self-abuse will become visible.
And if you're aware of it, then you can stop it faster too, right?
Oh, yes. But what I'm trying to say is that if you subjected yourself to this little bit of transgression 3 years ago, it would have taken you 12 days of silliness before this would have showed up.
Right, except that I would have already had it.
I'm so sorry.
I would have noticed it being more red or bigger.
Okay. But here's the interesting bit, for instance, dandruff, right?
Yes,
dandruff. I mean, people...
Head and shoulders, folks.
Yeah, right. People say, commercials use a different shampoo. Come on. Dandruff is a sign of oxidative stress. You're suffering from a specific malnutrition, lack of essential fatty acids. Okay? Or, for instance, people get this sort of chicken skin on their upper arms. you know, those sort of, it looks like chicken skin. I don't know how to others say it. It's sort of reddish spots that you see.
Okay.
You know, classic essential fatty acid deficiency. Or, you know, this eczema, right? Eczema shows up on the skin. I mean, that's a sign of internal inflammation, insufficient culture in the gut. You know, we have not managed your gut well enough to give it the resilience to stand a few margaritas and a few days of missed sleep. You know, there's way to rebuild it. And I mean, I suffer from the same thing that you're describing. You know, like I have skin issues as a result of my continuous detoxification process that I need to deal with my liver. I mean, I have had liver problems since I was a 5-year-old kid. That's
okay, yeah.
Over 50 years ago. You know, I've had all these things. First I had hepatitis, then I had mononucleosis, then I had bilirubinemia, you know, like blah, blah, blah. I mean, I had all these sort of problems, and then later the mental toxicity. So we all have specific weaknesses. For some people it will show up as eczema on their feet or on the palms of their hands, or psoriasis in behind their knees or the crooks of the elbow, or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's always some spots that a person has that's the weakest, where something will pop up as the first warning.
Right.
And warning of what? Well, warning of you're taking your body in the wrong direction. And this is the lessons that I have been learning of late, is with the metabolic type that we've talked on the last few podcasts.
Right.
We have essentially four major groups. You know, either you're overly acidic or overly alkaline at the blood level, and you can either be corrected by a diet rich in fats and proteins, or diet rich in complex carbohydrates and fruits. But not both. Well, actually, there are mixed types who can indeed live like that, but they cannot mix it on the same day or in the same meal.
But you don't want to, right?
Right. You don't. Because if you do the wrong thing, it'll push you in the wrong direction. And when your blood is out of balance, you're causing the symptoms of illness to rise up, to become visible. And, you know, the extremes of this are cancer, diabetes, obesity, fatty liver, I don't know what else. I mean, these are deadly. Oh, yeah, heart disease, right? The four big...
Yeah, don't forget heart disease.
Yeah, the four big ones, right? Either you die of a blood clot that's going to stop your heart or disconnect your brain. Yeah, I don't know which one I'd prefer.
Do we have to have a preference?
I don't know. I think I'd rather be dead than crippled. I just don't know. I might be a wussy, but I don't really think that I would enjoy my life terribly much with... you know, capacity diminished to the point where I'm just constantly drooling from one half of my face and unable to form words correctly and stuff like that. Anyway.
You know, Martin, I saw a movie the other day, 127 Hours, which was about this hiker that went out into the, looked like Arizona desert, and as he was going along, he was heading into a crevice, and the rock slipped and fell, and he fell, and the rock pinned him against his arm against the wall, and uh-huh. There was absolutely no way he could get it out, so he ended up having to cut his arm off to escape.
He had to hack it off to get out.
Hack it off to get out. And
that's not funny.
No. It was an amazing movie, and, you know, The Will to Live, and also, you know, I mean, it was like 5 days before he got out.
No water?
Very little water.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, after 5 days, you're starting to get into the hallucination.
He was hallucinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just interesting what we will do to live. But why not live a life full of vitality,
yes,
and energy versus a life, yeah, that's.
Well, you know, as I'm thinking about this, I'm visualizing that this was a guy in full life, right? So this probably would have come to him as a wake-up call of gigantic magnitude, which that probably would have changed his life in a way that's probably actually positive.
It actually was, because he had a video camera, and there was a few things. One, of course, was telling his parents how much he loved them, because he didn't think he was going to get away, and mm-hmm. then talking about how, you know, he didn't tell anybody where he was going, and what an idiot he was for doing that, right? And always wanted to just be a loner, and there's appropriate places to be alone and appropriate places not to be alone, right?
Yes.
And it was just amazing what we will do when our backup is against the wall in order to continue to live. And mm-hmm. we always have so much to live for, so why not live in a vital way? So getting back to, we have these metabolic types, and one wants to have like complex carbs, and the other needs to have proteins and fats. Of course, we need carbs, and we need protein, and we need fat, but there's how much you get. So if you're a complex carb person and you're eating lots of steak, you're going to be getting acidic and sick. But if you're a protein and fats person and you're eating a lot of complex carbs, you're going to have the same problem, because you're going to get acidic and everything else. So we're looking at kind of like an 80-20, like if you're a complex carb, you know, have 80% carbs, complex carbs, not sugars and chocolate bars, and 20% of the proteins and the fats, whereas if you're the other way, you need to have 80% proteins and fats and 20% carbs.
Right.
That's
very close. And, you know, you have wonderful examples out there in the mainstream, like, for instance, the Atkins diet. Robert Atkins advocated people to eat essentially massive amounts of meat, you know, like the famous chicken sandwich, where you have two chicken breasts with a piece of hamburger in between.
Yeah.
You know, the ultimate protein sandwich. That, I think, is actually extremism, because you're supposed to have a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, and a whole lot of non-caloric but rich vegetarian fare, you know, things like dark green or other colorful pigments.
So the dark green vegetables, do they go under complex carbs, proteins, or fats?
Neither.
None of.
No, there should be an extra food group, which we have been ignoring. So the complex carbs would be things like broccoli and carrot and all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank on it.
Cauliflower,
yes,
beets.
Yeah, cabbage, those type of things.
Squash.
Whereas the greens, they are actually really low carb content and high nutrient content.
And so, low protein and low fat.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
You know, like for instance, spirulina is a high protein content vegetarian stuff. Or chlorella and all of that. They have fairly high protein content, but they're really rich in pigments, you know, things that are red, green, blue, orange, all of those things, right?
So we should be eating lots of those regardless of which metabolic type we are.
Correct.
Okay. And some of them may have some protein. There are obviously vegetables with high protein, but we're not talking about them because of the high protein content as much as we are because of the pigments and the leafy vegetable status that they have.
Right. Well, you know, just to describe a meal that would be, let's just say, start with a salad, which is rich in a big variety of raw veggie stuff. And if you're the protein eater, you're going to have it with a piece of steak. And if you're the vegan type or carb type, you're going to have it with some organic whole short grain brown rice or some quinoa. right? Or if you go into a Chinese restaurant, you're going to get order yourself a stir fry, and the meat eating type is going to have a stir fry and beef or stir fry and chicken, and the vegetarian's going to have it with rice.
Okay.
So it's really just a subtle difference.
You know? But it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, huge. Gigantic. Because if you're heading in the wrong direction, these are not gigantic steps, one meal at a time, right? One meal does not make a lifestyle. It's over the space of a week or 4 days, as you had it, is what happens.
Right. Right.
You know, if you have a one meal that steps in the wrong direction, no big deal. It just simply shifts you over. But if you have 20 of them in a row, now we're getting into trouble.
Right.
So what's that look like? Okay, so understand, we mentioned the Atkins diet. So for one person, if you're eating an Atkins-style diet, and it makes you feel good, so you need to say, okay, 80% of my lifestyle is going to be like this.
Right.
So you can have a cheesecake, but only once a week.
Right, right.
There's the other group, you know, Dean Ornish. He's very famous for pushing the low-fat, high-carb diet. And that's somehow, I think it's about 20 years ago now, the government sort of grabbed it and ran with it. All of a sudden, do you remember... And I think it was the 80s when the low-fat salad dressings started showing up on the shelves.
Yes.
And low-fat yogurt and 0% fat this and no-fat that. Well, that works for the group that should have low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet. It's an absolute devastation for the other group.
Right.
So you need to understand, are you going to eat the high-fat yogurt or the no-fat yogurt? In fact, that thing is kind of... you know what? I think I just had an aha moment. Because in yogurt, you have mainly proteins. You couple that with fat. So I think I should declare a low-fat yogurt as the stupidest oxymoron going.
Right.
Because you are, if you are the protein eater, you want the protein and you want the fat. And if you're the vegetarian, you should stay the heck away from it.
Right, right. So when we're talking about getting these protein, we're really talking about, you know, eating a ton of leafy vegetables or spirulina or, you know, a lot of steak.
Right, yes. Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, salad and a piece of meat or... I mean, you can be a vegetarian. This actually just reminds me. I think the sickest people on the planet are vegans who are the protein-eating type. You know, they never get enough. They don't get enough protein.
Right.
Because they are essentially fruitarians, and they shouldn't be. So I would like to say to the world, yes, you can be a vegetarian and eat a high-protein, high-fat diet.
Oh, okay. That surprises me because I know quite a few vegetarians that are really...
unwell?
They just look awful.
Yes. And these are the people who are simply lacking protein in their diet because that's what they need to have. I mean, remember the 4 days in Vegas, right? How it pushed you out of your balance. Well, this is their lifestyle. They're eating consistently out of balance. I mean, it must be horrendous. I mean, they don't even know how good it can feel. And I've talked to people who said, well, I've tried that vegan thing, done it for several years, but it wasn't working for me. I had to go to eating protein. And by eating protein, they declare they started eating meat. Which, okay, I have no issue with that. It's fine. However, if you have a philosophical motivation to be a vegetarian, then I have a solution for you. There are protein superfoods available in the vegetarian kingdom. In fact, I just recently found a really lovely company called Sprout Living and brought their product line into Life Enthusiast. And they have a sprouted protein, which is just fantastic. They call it sproutine.
Cool. So what was your experience? Because I know we've talked about this before. There's nothing that you promote through the Life Enthusiast Co-op business and the website that you haven't checked out in great detail and, in fact, used yourself. So
right. Well, as the world would have it, I'm the mixed metabolic type, so I can eat some meat or some protein, but not all the time. My wife and my daughter, on the other hand, are the protein types. They require protein or else they're miserable. So when I brought these samples over, you know, this sprouting, it's they essentially declared that I'm off limits. They wanted for themselves until I can replace the next jar. And this other thing, this epic protein, I've tried it myself, and I'm just surprised. It tastes lovely. And, you know, even to me, like, you know, I'm a vegetarian primarily, and I have a fairly fine palate when it comes to these, you know, salads and smoothies and that sort of thing. And these things are good. And I tell you, I've tested many. I mean, I have been on the prowl for nice things out there. And
so there's two things about it that stand out for me right away that I want to share with everybody. First is, they're produced in a certified organic, kosher, vegan, and raw facility, which is strictly dairy, nut, and gluten-free, which I just think is wonderful.
Yes.
And amazing. And then where was the other thing that I saw that I was, enzymatically active, because we talk about this all the time, that flash pasteurization kills the enzyme. Cooking
right.
kills the enzyme. So we get all these so-called health foods out there that are made of all this good stuff that
yeah.
is then killed so that it can last, you know, 6 months on the shelf. And then what's the point? Because
right.
it's dead food where we want to live with living food. So the fact that this is enzymatically, I love that word, active, means that we're really looking at a form of a living food.
Correct. And that's they have it in the name, Sprout Living. You know, good point about the proteins that are dead, like whey, for instance. You know, most of the whey that's on the market is pasteurized whey. That means that all of its enzymatic activity has been turned off.
Yeah.
Here we have a vegan, not just vegetarian, vegan, living in kosher. And a lot of my clients are actually of the Hindu persuasion, and they find it exceedingly difficult to find proteins for their lifestyle too. And yet, if they need it, they are just sickly. You know, like people have become have converted to the lifestyle because they believe it emotionally and intellectually, but it's just a murder for their body. So here are tools that that are ecological. You know, we were talking about how the footprint of the meat production industry is not so good because it takes something like 25 or 30 times more resources to create a calorie of meat food than vegetarian food, right?
Yep.
So as far as the planet itself is concerned, it's certainly more ecological to eat plant protein than to eat animal protein.
How much plant matter does it take to create a pound of beef? I mean, I've heard like it's a phenomenal amount of...
Yeah, I have the stats somewhere. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know it was like 1 pound of... beef requires 16 pounds of
grain or something
like that. To
outrageous. So, yeah, basically it works out to, you know, could be like a football field of grain to make a pound of beef or some out terrible. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know the number. And don't get me wrong, I am all for people having the freedom of eating meat and all of that. I just don't want it to be factory-made meat.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just have a challenge with industrial agriculture of every sort, whether it's industrial raising of wheat or vegetables or beef or chickens or eggs. I really have a problem with all of it because that food is of very low nutritional value.
And that's the other side of it, right?
Yes.
Is one thing about it takes up all this space and resources to create, to make, to grow. And then the other side of it is it of any quality anyway? Is it of good quality anyway?
Right. So I think I said it sometime before. You know, these days, food is less expensive than it ever has been. And we get exactly what we're paying for. It's hollow. It's empty. It's a, you know, carrot in name or carrot in shape. But today's carrot has 1/3 the minerals of a carrot 100 years ago. So that means that you should have to eat 3 carrots to match it. No wonder you're going to get fat. Anyway, so Sprout Living, I'm really excited about that. You know, the company has got the right kind of ethics. The foods are blended beautifully. The Epic Protein is available either in the original rice flavor, but also with vanilla and in chocolate. And I've tested all of them, and they taste great. Not overpowering, just a hint of. You know, they don't try to completely, mask the thing. You know, like a lot of these products are low-quality ingredients that have been masked by strong flavoring agents. This is not the case here. These are high-quality ingredients which have been enhanced with the flavor of something decent. So I'm really excited about that.
Cool. I did find a figure on the beef thing, although it wasn't how much grain or anything. It was how much water.
Mm-hmm.
So a pound of beef takes 12,000 gallons.
Oh.
To give you an idea, potatoes are 60 gallons per pound. Rice is 229 gallons per pound. Beef is 12,009 gallons per pound. So basically, the authors of the study basically said, you know, you could float a destroyer on the amount of water it takes to raise a cow.
Right.
Sort of thing, you know.
Right. Well, you know, this is a little disingenuous to a degree because, of course, a pound of beef has way more nutrition in it than a pound of potatoes or rice.
Right.
Okay,
but if you did it the other way and you took 12,000 gallons of water, and how much rice would you create?
Yes.
You know,
I'm sure it's
600 pounds of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Versus I'm sure. Pound. Well, and there you have it. You know, the rural Asian people don't live on meat; they live on rice.
Yeah.
Because you know, the poorer the people are, the more they have to lean on the easier or less resource-intensive foods. It turns out those are the healthier ones.
Right, absolutely.
So the affluence that we're experiencing is not necessarily a wonderful thing. It's exactly what's killing us. I'm thinking of George the Eighth. Not George, Henry.
Henry the Eighth, yeah.
You know, who died of miserable, festering wounds on his feet because he only ate meat.
Yeah, and it's funny, they never made that connection, eh?
No. But, you know, you can have those miserable, festering feet of the diabetics with the new neuropathy and ulcers and all of that. And you can create that by eating too much grain. See, if you're eating against the body type, I mean, this is the most bizarre thing that the, for instance, the nutritional industry is pushing. Is for diabetics, they're pushing carbohydrates as a means of managing their sugar. Mm. It's dead wrong. Most of these people should be on high protein diets.
And it's so easy to test that.
Yes. Well, yes, there are tests. Some of them
well,
are
I just meant
pricier, but...
Eat high protein, right?
Right.
For 3 weeks and see how you feel, or 2 days and see how you feel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. 4 days in Las Vegas. I have the answer for you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a long time before I have another margarita.
So I guess it was the carbohydrates that you should stay away from?
Well, that was mostly what I ate. I was mostly high, you know, taco chips and...
Cheese?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so much cheese. I don't... Yeah, there was actually no cheese on it, but...
Oh, okay. Well, some of that taco chip business, you know, we now are heading into the genetically modified foods. Mm-hmm. And that thing is a whole new chapter. I mean, anybody who's listening to this, please, please, please... take significant effort to avoid genetically modified foods.
Yeah.
Not just because it's not nutritionally so great, but because of what it's doing to the planet. With every dollar that you spend unconsciously on some genetically modified foods, you're actually supporting an industry that's slowly but surely going to kill this entire planet. I am absolutely certain of the fact that there's a wall that is somewhere out there that we're going to hit. And, you know, we can continue to expand more food production, you know, rising the yields and increasing the per acre production and the calories per acre and all of that. But there comes a time when things collapse and, oh, it's just so scary to imagine what it's going to look like when there's a crop failure of a significant size. How many millions, if not billions, of people will go hungry? And I mean seriously, seriously hungry.
Yep.
So I would like to not get there, and to not get there is if we don't support the GMO industry.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this podcast will be heard by a few thousand, so we will make a difference.
That's right.
Each one of you out there, please do make a difference.
Yeah, and it can start just with what you feed your children, what you feed yourself, and then spread from there, because we become the change we want to see in the world, as I think some famous person once said.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So if you have questions about how you can figure out which type you are, well, follow the symptoms. If you feel better after a fruit-rich meal or a salad with salad doesn't quite do it. Let's just go for a big amount of fruit. If that makes you feel great, better, and improved, and so on, you need more of that. If that makes you feel miserable, tired, cranky, and just, you know, less well, try the opposite. Try a protein. Try a protein-rich meal. Go with that. And if those meals make you feel better, you know for sure that it's the protein-predominant meals that you need to focus on. And it's the 80-20 rule. You know, so 4 days out of five, you're going to have protein lunches and protein dinners. So you can have a vegan meal now and then, or vegetarian, I should say, or carbohydrate-based meal now and then, but definitely not 4 or 5 days in a row. Anyway,
So if somebody wants to know more, where could they go to get more information?
Well, we're building it out at life-enthusiast.com. There's more information there. You can find this wonderful protein blend under the brands called Sprout Living, or in products under Nutrition Proteins. Or you can call us. Phone number is 1-866-543-3388. We're available from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time, and we're working on restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.